And I know it sounds simple, but that consistency, I think, is the most underrated aspect that I've seen.
Welcome to the Pacey Performance Podcast, the podcast that dives into the philosophies, ideas, and practices of some of the best practitioners in high performance sport. So this episode of the Pacey Performance Podcast is basically a teaser for what Joey is going to speak about in Pittsburgh at the Sportsmith Speed Conference on the 1st and 2nd of June. And that's how to integrate speed training into an athletic development program with youth athletes. So it's only 35 minutes, but we get a real insight into how Joey views youth development. We have a little chat into how speed training can be manipulated around games, the issue with the amount of games that youth athletes are playing, and some of the overhyped aspects of speed training and some of the underhyped aspects of speed training that Joey sees out there. So although 35 minutes, we get a lot done. So really interested to hear your feedback on this. Look forward to seeing you in Pittsburgh with Joey and 11 other world-class speed coaches. And if you are interested in coming, head over to sportsmith.co/events and you'll see a speed conference there. Look forward to seeing you in Pittsburgh and hope you enjoy this episode. This episode of the Pace of Performance podcast is sponsored by RockDaisy. RockDaisy's athlete management system provides a powerful competitive advantage to elite sports leagues around the world. If you're looking for a solution that enables you to centralize, analyze, and visualize your data, check out rockdaisy.com and sign up for a free trial. This episode is also sponsored by TeamBuilder. TeamBuilder is a software for performance coaches around the world. The powerhouse platform increases efficiency, saves paper, and can handle any type of programming. It's the perfect fit for professional and academy teams, performance institutes, schools, and universities. TeamBuilder is full of tools that help coaches' needs. Multiple max tracking methods, 16 plus reports, evaluation testing, and goal setting, just to name a few. Coaches also have access to consultations with TeamBuilder's in-house sports scientist to help manage and analyze data. Head to teambuilder.com and sign up with promo code SPORTSMITH to start your 30-day free trial. So without further ado, over to the episode with Joey. Joey, thank you for jumping on the Pace Performance podcast. It's a pleasure to have you again.
Absolutely. Really appreciate the opportunity to be on.
I have the pleasure of, I don't have the pleasure of meeting many people that have been on the podcast very often, but one of the big reasons that I wanted to do conferences, starting with the Speed Conference last year in the UK, was to actually meet people that I've been speaking to over the last 10 years for the podcast. And I'm lucky to be able to meet you in 60 days, 59 days at the Sportsmith Speed Conference in Pittsburgh. So I'm super excited for that. Would you mind just after your little bio, because I think it deserves a, but you deserve a bio, things might have changed since last time we spoke, but give us a little insight, a little teaser into the kind of things you're going to speak about at Pitt in 60 days.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a high school, or I guess I have a couple different, jobs, I guess, if you will. So I work at a public school in the Dallas, Texas area. And then I also run my own business. So with that, I work, I do like in-person training. But then I also do online coaching, as well too. So I work with individuals kind of all over the world, to be honest, you know, with that. So, kind of have a lot of different experiences. I've worked, before, primarily now what I work with is a lot of, generally around like 9 to 18 year olds, for the most part. There's, individuals that are, I have older than that, but that's kind of generally where a large percentage of my population that I work with is. But prior to that, I worked primarily in the college sector. So I worked at a couple different universities here in the States. So I've had kind of a gauntlet, and it's kind of one of the things that's helped me a lot too. Kind of going into the, what, I'll be talking about is a lot of the stuff that I've kind of seen at the back end of stuff. So it's kind of, it's helpful. When you've seen stuff kind of down the chain, I guess, if you will, you're also kind of limited in terms of like sometimes the changes that you can make when you're working with someone that's kind of like towards the end of their career, or not career, but like you're just by the time someone gets, you know, 20, 21, 22, 23, a lot of times you're a little bit more limited in terms of some of the stuff that you can do, in terms of like the big changes that you can make potentially on someone. So that's kind of where I've used a lot of my experiences and kind of what I've seen, to be honest, good and bad, with individuals in the kind of the college sector, those playing in the professional ranks right now, and then being able to go back in time per se, and then kind of fix and adjust and kind of make some changes, you know, with kids that are, you know, 9 to, you know, 16 years old, 17 years old, you know, with that. So with that, that's going to be a lot of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about, in conjunction, obviously, with speed development, plyometrics, kind of how I set stuff up, you know, with that, looking at long-term changes. You know, I think that's one of the big things that honestly has been really helpful for me, is being able to see not just necessarily what's kind of maybe standard like in a textbook or stuff like that, but what's actually like happening in the real world. Because I have a lot of different populations I work with. I work with kids that like are, I train at school. I train with kids that will drive, you know, 50 minutes after, you know, in the evening to come train with me, you know, in the Dallas Metroplex area. I also have kids that I work with online. So today's Tuesday, so it's not, but I have kids, like I've got a kid that will train a 13-year-old in Calgary, in Canada, that'll train at 6 a.m. 2 days a week, you know, that we're going through with his mom. So, you know, so he's up at 6 a.m. training right now at 13 years old. I have other kids, you know, doing kind of the similar. I've got some kids out in the East Coast to do the same thing. I've got some kids in Sweden, kind of all over. So to be honest, like I have a very big, I guess, kind of experience to draw from with a lot of stuff. And I think, as anything, the more experiences you have, the more potential you have to learn from that, if you have an open mind, which is, it's difficult, you know, do that sometimes. I try and do that, because at the end of the day, I want to get better. That's kind of been one of my, I guess, ethos for the last 20 years of my life, both when I started kind of training myself and then getting into coaching and stuff like that. And a lot of stuff has evolved in terms of, you know, what I do now, what I did, you know, 3 years ago, what I did 10 years ago. And a lot of that's changed, not necessarily, yes, because there's been a lot of stuff that I've read and learned and acquired knowledge, but also just kind of paying attention and experiences. You know, so like one of the big things that, I mean, this, and this is like a perfect example, and I'll probably go, I'll talk about this at the conference in my talk. But I think one of the challenges right now that probably doesn't get talked a lot about necessarily, because I think this has been a more of an issue that's kind of come up in the last couple of years, is the amount of just games and stuff being played by, you know, kids in their 9 to 18 years old, which you can have the best program, you can have all this different stuff set up, but if you're getting like 6 sprint sessions in a week between all the games that you're playing and training, it's really hard to make progress. Like, I'm going to be honest, and that's one of the biggest challenges that I have across numerous sports, and I don't think it's not my problem. I think it's a problem across, especially in the States. I don't know how it is in other countries, but I mean, when you're playing 7 basketball games a week, and it's like, okay, I need to jump higher, I need to run faster. Well, okay, if you're coming in with knee tendonitis and we can't really do a whole lot, like we're limited there. I have kids that, you know, play 7-on-7 football 5 days a week now in like February. Okay, so you're just running all weekend. Monday is supposed to be like, maybe it's like a high velocity day. It's like, well, we just accumulated a bunch of stuff that I didn't really have planned for. And now you show up. So there's like, you know, volleyball is another example. I mean, you're playing 10 matches a week. You're playing every day. You're playing numerous teams. So anyway, so like, I'm kind of going off, as you can tell, but that's one of the biggest challenges right now, is trying to educate more so than anything of like, okay, if you need to get faster, like, and I like, it's helpful for me, and I try and use like real world examples. So like, if I'm, I think it's good to stay in your lane like a little bit. So like a good example, and this is something that just happened like a week ago, I want to say, because I'll get people to reach out about training and other stuff. I had somebody reach out that is, they were in the 2020, I'm trying to remember, like 21 or 22 Olympics. And they've got qualified, there's something coming up, and one of their coaches just left. They were looking for some like basically like remote training for the next like 3 or 4 months until they had, I think there's some qualified or something, in this summer, I want to say. And it's someone that's like, obviously like one of the best in their respective like disciplines in track and field in the world. And I told this person, I was like, I'm going to be honest, a couple of things. First of all, I'm extremely like super, super busy right now. So with that said, I don't think I have the time to devote to what you need from the specifics of your programming to get to the level that you want. And I also said, I'm going to be honest, I think I'm pretty good, you know, especially with team sport athletes, but like, I don't really have a background working with like extremely high level track and field athletes. So like for you and what you want, I think there's people that are better and have a better track record of doing what you do and getting results, I have some pretty good ideas I think that would work. But as I just said, those are ideas. I haven't taken someone through, you know, okay, we're getting ready for probably one of the biggest track and field events in your life. So I can be honest with myself. And I sent her like 3 or 4 different coaches. I'm like, these people are people I respect and they work a lot, like specifically in track and field. So I would reach out. I can put you in touch with them, talk to them, because I think they're going to be able to give you a more time and they're going to have a better system and they're just going to be better for you. You know what I mean? I don't know why I just brought that up. We were talking about something, but anyway. So anyway, kind of trying to stay in your lane, like a little bit like with that. So that's not my area. So I think you're better off with somebody else. There's a reason why I brought that up. Now I can't remember. This will probably happen in the conference, because I have a very good knack for just talking. I think that's what it was.
Carry on. I've got a couple of questions off the back of what you just said, but please carry on.
Yeah. So I think the part that I was, because this was a story that's in my back of my mind. I don't know how I just interlaced that into it. But we were running flying tens, you know, like it was like one of our sprint days, like with football. And I had a kid, just like, this was just yesterday, hit a flying 10 PR. Like, and this is someone that's been training like for 3 years with me. You know what I mean? So it's not like when you, I've done this like enough, like whether any type of data, when you get your first couple tests, you start training, like you'll see fluctuations. Like, oh, I just hit a PR. And that was like my 4 training sessions. Like, okay, was that really a PR? You know what I mean? Like, we're looking for like long-term like changes over 2, 3, 4 years. And once you get to that point, I don't care who you're working with, it becomes a lot more challenging to keep making or trying to make progress when you've been training for 2, 3, 4 years and you have like decently good numbers, not like world class or elite. But once you get to like a good point, it becomes more challenging to like keep trying to hit records. And there's a lot more variables, in my opinion, that go into that. So anyway, I had somebody, and it was like a defensive lineman. So it's not like, it was a high school defensive lineman. So this isn't like a 260, 270, but it's, you know, someone that's like 205 or whatever. And he ran like a 101 flying 10, which is the best he's ever ran by far. And I had other kids that are like more like skill position players, like in football. So like more, you're like sprinters, whatever. He ran faster than a lot of them. And like, I mean, this is just reality. And I tell people like, it might come off. I'm just being honest. I take what I hear and I just try and like logically think through things. I'll have kids where it's like I said, like, okay, you haven't hit a sprint PR in like 6 months or a year. Because it's like, sometimes it's like when you're just doing all this other stuff year round, and it's like, we can't really ever be in a good position where you can come in and train because you're just doing all this other stuff. You know what I mean? And so anyway, this individual, he hit a PR and I'm like, did you play in this tournament? Cause a lot of them played in this like football tournament this past weekend. So just a bunch of running, bunch of sprinting, bunch of cutting, change of direction. And I asked him like, did you play in the games this weekend? He's like, yeah. And he was like, but I just snapped the whole time. So like, basically, if you just snap the football, you're not. I'm like, wait, so did you run at all? He's like, hardly any. And I'm like, huh. So you just hit a PR and you ran faster, like one of the fastest times we ran today at all. And you were one of the ones that didn't do any sprinting this weekend. You know what I mean? Okay, I don't know. I'm not trying to like point this in a direction, but I'm just taking what somebody just told me. I had 2 kids. This happened like a month ago and I made a YouTube video of it, right? You can go on my YouTube page, because I'm trying to put more like educational stuff out there that's like longer form content, because it's just a better platform like with YouTube on that. Like I'm not joking. I had 2 kids that just came over from basketball. So they've been playing basketball. They've been doing like a little, honestly, there's a lot of different factors. I won't go into it. They've been lifting. It wasn't just a lot. They've just been primarily playing basketball, going through the sport for 3 months. They come back, and these are 2 kids that are like, one's 15, one's 16, but they've been with me for like 3 years now. So again, kind of the same. They've been training. I've got a lot of data points on them. They both came back, and they both hit vertical jump PRs, like right when they came back. And the other one also hit an all-time flying sprint PR like that week, like better. And I don't think you've been running that distance, like, you know, it's basketball. And I asked him, you just hit these PRs. Basically what happened, they got done playing basketball. They didn't do anything for a week, and then they showed up with me. So it was like, oh, so wait, you guys didn't do anything for the last week and then you just played basketball for 3 months and you just hit a vertical. You both hit vertical. One jump 34, one jump like 29 something. You know what I mean? So both of them, like I said, they both have like over probably 15, 20 data points on them. So those are like, dude, those are all-time PRs. The one kid ran a 0.96 flying 10 yard, which is pretty solid for like a high school kid. I think his best before that was like a 9.7 or 9.8. You know what I mean? So anyway, I tell people, I'm like, if we can get better by just like standing on one leg and touching our nose and doing some other like weird stuff, like, you know what? I might think that's stupid, but if the numbers go up, like, I'm going to be honest. As I just said, I try to be open-minded. Okay. I'm going to start figuring out like how, I don't know, but that's obviously working. I don't know what happened, but like you have 30 vertical jumps in your testing and you just hit an all-time PR. Well, let's take a step back. So you didn't train, like, you didn't train for a week and then you played basketball for 3 months. So one of the things that's changed for me is I used to be, and I'll probably talk about this. There's a lot of, I'm limited on time. I'm good at talking, as you can probably tell. So I'll just talk about it now.
I've got some questions for you, Joey, so bear that in mind.
Okay.
Keep going.
All right. Last
Last one.
point from this. Now I just got off track. Dang it.
I've thrown you off there. Go.
Okay, go ask your question. Maybe it'll come back
No,
because
I
you
was
might have
going to
that
say,
important.
maybe a simple one. Who's driving this in terms of the overpacked schedules of match play, whether it's American football, whether it's basketball, whether it's soccer, whatever it is? Is it kids? Is it organizations? Is it parents? Is it, who is it?
I mean, I think it's a combination, to be quite honest, of like all these different factors, which again, like I think that's why it's like difficult. Like if you look at like literature or other stuff of like training youth athletes and other stuff from even like 5 years ago, I think that's going to be, I'm not saying that stuff's not right or like whatever, but the environment is so much different now than it was 3, 5 years ago. Like in terms of like club sports, in terms of social media, in terms of all this other stuff. So like you're seeing, first of all, okay, let's just go with this, because this is one of the things I deal with in training and other stuff. Social media, all right? People see like the end, like, oh man, I hit it. Like they see the highlights. And so like that's what you want. So like, okay, if you play a whole basketball game, you can't just make your, maybe you can, again, and this is my, I'm sure people will disagree with this, all right? But like if you want to be a highlight player, do you want to be a really good player? You know what I mean? Those are two different things. So like kids, like a lot of kids now just want to see the highlights and that's what they want. You know what I mean? So like when you're like looking at playing these club sports or like these games, playing games are fun. You know what's not really all the time fun is like skill development. I'm actually like getting better at your sport. I remember, and again, when I was like the kids that I work with, when you have a 2 hour basketball practice, I want to play like, you know, let's play full court, 5-on-5, let's play half court. Oh, I don't want to do like, you're doing the drills that are boring, you know what I mean, that you don't want to do, but they're the ones that generally get you better. You know what I mean? And so like I can relate to that. So I think now though with social media, you see the games and you can just put that stuff out there. You have the club coaches, you have these people I think that sometimes are like the voices of like, this is what you need to do. And a lot of times the parents are just going along for the ride, or you know what I mean? Like to a certain degree of like, okay, I'm just listening to like, you say we need to play 100 baseball games this year when I'm 12 years old, let's do it. And I played baseball in college, you know what I mean? So that's like, I guess I'm a lot more versed in that area. So like you've got kids now that like are like playing like tournaments in like February. You know what I mean? Like they're traveling to play games in February at like 13 years old. And so like I've kind of brought this up, and like I'm just gonna be honest. Like, is there a difference? Are you, do you become better by playing say 90 baseball games compared to 50? You know what I mean? Like, do you, like, I think your best players are gonna keep getting better, but I don't think that development between your below average and average players are necessarily gonna get better by just playing more games. You know what I mean? That's not saying you just practice all the time, but like if you're playing games, you can't train and you can't really do a whole lot of skill development. So it's kind of like opportunity cost in my mind of like, how do you best value and utilize your time? You know what I mean? And this is kind of one of the ones I think it's interesting. And this is just what I've heard. And again, I'm just trying to listen and pay attention from my understanding of like, that's kind of how basketball has changed in terms of like when you talk about the European model versus the American model. And I'll see, and kind of I was just talking about, I'll see these clips on like TikTok or Instagram about basketball guys talking about the difference between Europe and like, and how like the Europeans are going to potentially take over the NBA because they're playing like one game a week and the rest of it's just skill development. You know what I mean? In America, it's all just AAU and just playing whatever and less skill development. You know what I mean? So I think that's kind of, you're seeing these different kind of theories kind of play out. And I think a lot of it, like I said, if there wasn't social media or you didn't see that stuff, how much of that would be changing? You know what I mean? Because here's the other thing too. You also have, there's a lot of people that are playing for trophies and ribbons at 12 or 13 or 14, and they're more concerned about the here and now than they are 3, 4, 5 years down the line. You know what I mean? And like winning trophies at 12 or 13 years old, it'll be interesting. I mean, we'll have a case study on it. Like, what's the correlation between the best 12, 13, 14-year-olds, the best teams at that age, and where are they at 3, 4, 5 years down the line? You know what I mean? And so, like, I think that's kind of one of the things. And then you have parents, because parents get really involved in that, and they kind of the vicarious of living through your kids of like, you know, we're trying to, you know, some of this stuff. So I think, honestly, I think it's a big, I think there's a lot of causes. I don't necessarily know that it's just one. I also do, and this is kind of my personal philosophy, as some of the stories I just mentioned of, I'm just trying to, I'm going to be honest at the end of the day. And I tell people this, like I have a lot of stuff going on and a lot of people have a lot of stuff going on. I'm not going to lose. I've gotten better at this. I'm not going to lose sleep at night. Like if I tell you something, and this is my, I think about this a lot. guys, hopefully I don't know how long we've been talking. I try and put a lot of thought into this. You can take my information, just like in any situation, anyone can take any information. You can use it or choose to not use it. At the end of the day, I'm not going to lose sleep though over the decisions that you make. All right. A lot of us weren't educated because when I was coming up, there wasn't YouTube. There wasn't all this other stuff. So we didn't know. So you just had to try and figure stuff out. And that's probably how I think, honestly, I became a better coach because I had to try so much stuff out on my own. And you know what? You're going to be biased in that. But like there's a lot of trial and error. You know what I mean? And that's probably why, honestly, some of the stuff matters so much to me because I put so much time, energy, and effort into it. I'm going to give you the information. Here's my opinions on this stuff. And if you want to listen to it and kind of change your thought process on stuff as a parent, coach, whatever, awesome. If not, okay, that's fine. Like I'm not upset. Like there's different experts, there's different voices. But at the end of the day, you're responsible for picking and choosing, like as a consumer. All right. So I think that's one thing of like now the excuse of I didn't know doesn't really hold weight. You know what I mean? Because, and this is my personal opinion too with athletes, like I get really frustrated with a lot of stuff because I think a lot of stuff is spoon fed to a lot of different people, like kids, adults, like everyone. And as an athlete, or if you're being coached, some of it is your responsibility. Like you can, again, have the best drills, the best whatever, but like if you're just not paying attention at all, or you don't really have an internal drive to get better at those things, there's times where I'm like, I've queued the same thing 50 times over the last 2 years. And you know what I mean? I have some people that it's like, we've made so much progress. And other people where it's like, it's just kind of stayed the same because I'm still telling you to do the same thing, you know, 50 times, you know what I mean? And yeah, I know there's different ways and I've tried to go about different ways and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if you want to get better, so a good part of that is on you, your internal like motivation, you know what I mean? And again, kind of going back to that, a lot of us didn't have, if you're my age, older, you didn't have probably a lot of coaches or other people like giving you this information. So like now when I pass that information on and I've gotten better at it, like, okay, I'm not going to get so upset with it because at the end of the day, like I got kids that are training at 6 a.m. in Canada or wherever. Okay, those kids are like listening, they're paying attention, they're hungry to get better. I'm trying to like do a better job of putting my energy into the, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of like reciprocal. Like it's reciprocal, you know what I mean? And that's not even saying kids that are like the best athletes. Like I have a lot of kids. I have a kid that I'm thinking about at the top of my head yesterday. He ran like a 107 flying 10. His best is 106, right? That's probably, I don't know, maybe slightly below high school average or whatever. But you know what? Like that same kid, I had him 2 years ago when he was in junior high and he was in like the 1-2s. You know what I mean? So like, I'll be honest, like that's something that like, but he shows up, he's consistent. He works hard. He does. You know what I mean? He just works hard and he shows up and he's consistent. And so like, honestly, those are the same ones. That's probably not going to, you know, play a professional sport. You know, I don't want to like not say it or whatever, but like, that's someone that I'm going to remember and that person works hard and I enjoy working with them. You know what I mean? Because like, they're going to come in and they're going to try and do their best every day. You know what I mean?
I know we've only been going 15 or 20 minutes, but we're just going to take a very quick break. And it's just a reminder, Sportsman Speed Conference, University of Pittsburgh, 1st and 2nd of June, an all-star lineup, including Joey, plus 11 others from Les Spellman to Jonas Dodu to Bouchek Snyder, Tony Villani, Ryan Grubbs. The whole crew are going to be there. So if you're interested, head to sportsmith.co/events and you'll find all the details there. Would love to see you. This episode of the Pacey Performance Podcast is sponsored by Hytro. Have you ever tried blood flow restriction training? So for pro sport teams and athletes, Hytro is the only performance BFR brand to create pressure-validated BFR wearables that are practical, safe, and scalable, allowing you to enhance recovery and maximize athletic potential like never before. Widely used by top-flight rugby, football, cricket, and motorsports teams already in post-game changing rooms, away game travel, hotels, or at home, Hytro has proven that creating their simple and effective wearables allows BFR to be delivered to athletes and squads simultaneously and safely. To find out how Hytro BFR can give your athletes a competitive edge, visit hytro.com or email the team at teamsales@hytro.com. Also sponsoring this podcast is Vald. So I'm really proud to have Vald as a sponsor again, and after a recent visit to Vald HQ in Brisbane for their annual ValdCon event, it's incredible to see how far they've come as a company since I last visited at the start of 2018. So from a very humble office of less than 20 employees back then. It's amazing to see how far they've come. They now employ a global team of more than 200 that support clients across 100 countries, including many of the world's elite and professional sporting organizations. So an incredible rise to where they are now. So this is a huge testament to just the impact they're having across the industry with their innovation, but also continued commitment to support clients. So if you're a performance practitioner, you probably know all about VALD, but if not, I'd recommend that you check them out at valdperformance.com. And now back to the episode with Joey. Just going back on the speed side of things and focusing on that, because that's obviously the focus of your talk in a couple of months. Do you have a framework that you could kind of lay out that you work to? I know you're working with, I think it's fascinating that you're working with people in Sweden, people in Canada. So you've got, like you said, a unique perspective on what's going on out there, what's good and what's bad, equally interesting. Speed training framework, what does that look like for you? And how do you manipulate that based on sport, based on age, based on all these different factors?
Yeah, so a lot of it, again, is going to come down to the schedule of like, okay, what's our like setup look like? So ideally, like I said, especially with like older kids, like 13 to 18 years old, generally what I want, like, and I've taken a lot of stuff from Jonas. So I use like I said, a lot of his stuff, and it's really resonated with me. And I really like a lot of his like framework. So generally, like what I like to have is an acceleration focused day and like a max velocity top end day. That's kind of the setup that I have. That's the framework. So for training, say 4 days a week, I'll have like a low day and I'll do like a high low kind of setup. So like I'll generally start with like kind of like, I call it like a low medium day. So something to kind of get like a Monday to kind of get stuff fired. We'll do some medicine ball throws, some light acceleration, nothing crazy. Tuesday. And this is one thing where I've changed it up, and I know I'll come back to the purpose of the question. I switched up. I used to do acceleration on Tuesdays and max velocity like work on Fridays, but I would see like honestly like towards the end of the week and kind of stuff that I was talking about, like by the end of the week, kids were getting fried, and I don't think the quality of our sessions were good. And this is kind of mine, so like I'll be honest, I'm really looking forward to going to the conference too, because I'm going to learn a lot, and hopefully there's going to be a lot of stuff that I'm going to change. This is my thought process with it, and some people that are a lot smarter and more intelligent than me might tell me I'm an idiot, and I'm going to have to like listen to them because I respect them because they're more intelligent than me and they've done this at a higher level. I switched up my Tuesday and my Friday because I feel like earlier in the week when you're trying to get like max velocity work, the nervous system has to be at like such a high level to get the benefit from it. I feel like with acceleration work, again, it still needs to be like you need the nervous system at a high level, but I feel like there's more stuff we can do even if it's down a little bit, like heavy sled pushes, like other stuff like that I think I can do at the back end of the week. So I used to, like I said, I inverted those after I kept just seeing like Tuesdays were really good sessions, and by Friday everyone was just kind of gassed out because they're playing, you know, they might have like two football practices, you know, in the evenings in that point or whatever. So that, anyway, that's one thing that I switched up. So generally, I like to set up my plyometrics, you know what I mean, to be kind of like more horizontally emphasized or inclined. And then my like max velocity stuff to be more like quicker ground contacts, faster reactive, kind of more vertically oriented. So that's kind of the structure that I generally set that up with. And then like the early in the week is like more of an intensity focus kind of session from a weight room work. So like, not a ton of volume and not a ton of reps, but super high quality, whether we're trying to move bar speeds quick or like loads, kind of whatever it is. By the time we get to the back end of the week, it's more generally that kind of volume based, you know, with that, because just everyone's kind of fried and dead to a certain degree. So that's kind of where the emphasis is. So that's general, right? I also have kids that like, or sessions where like, so like in my own like business, I'll train people, and sometimes those are like twice a week, you know what I mean? So like with that, I'll do an acceleration kind of focused and a max velocity focus session. And those are like, but those are like 30 minutes. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm sorry, those are an hour. So it'll be like 30, 35, 30 ish minutes of like our plyometric, our speed work. And then the back half's like the lifting component. You know what I mean? Because with that too, and sometimes I think you can be as intelligent or kind of, you know, well-respected, I guess, if you thought, there's still a lot of like, okay, if a parent, like they're expecting to lift, you know what I mean? So like, okay, we're probably not going to do some of the lifting that maybe you're accustomed to. But like if you come in and maybe it's groundbreaking, but we go in a whole hour, we don't even touch a weight. From a business standpoint, I'm going to have people that are going to be like, well, we're going to go somewhere else because this isn't what I want. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's just the reality.
You got to play the game. You got to play the game.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? And I still do pretty much exactly what I want with that. So it's not like I'm having to change a whole lot, but it's just being the reality. So like a lot of times, like in those sessions, I try and set it up to where we'll go through our warm up. It'll be like rudiments, like kind of our run prep stuff, like really quick kind of on the run prep stuff. I like to get one like a plyometric, right? Some type of like power based exercise, and then some type of like technical drill before we do our sprints. You know what I mean? Of something just to kind of like whether it's like a knee like projection work if it's an acceleration or like switches or something like that, and then we go into our time sprints. So we do time sprints on both days with that, and that's one of the big ones of that. And then with the time sprints too, I've gotten better at like honestly just not overcueing that because like to a certain degree, and I personally believe this as I've seen it kind of more of like, and I had this conversation honestly with a bunch of kids last night, you know, like 13 through 15 year old kids, and I was basically explaining like you can have the best technique in the world. But if your motor is so small, like you could be striking precisely and whatever, you can have someone that like if you jump 38 inches and your technique's not perfect, but you got that raw horsepower, you're gonna run faster and you're gonna run pretty fast. You know what I mean? So like that's why like I try and explain like we need to focus, we need to fix some technical issues, and that's gotta be an emphasis. But then also like if we're running, I need you working on like trying to be as explosive and powerful as like out of your start as you can. I need you focusing on like the weight room stuff that we're doing on like if we're doing our resistant jumps or whatever to try and produce as much power as you can. Because at the end of the day, especially for acceleration, that's gonna be like one of the most important things. And that's gonna be one of the most what would you call it? Like move the needle type things. You know what I mean? And again, this isn't saying like squats are the be all end all, but if like if you're struggling to front squat 135 and I see someone else that can like front squat 315, you know what I mean, or like 160 kilos. Okay, you know what? Like they could be off, but I'm gonna assume that person probably has a bigger motor, is gonna be able to run faster, do some of the other stuff. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the framework that I set it up with the younger kids, because I'll work with kids that are like 9 to 11 years old. That's even more like honestly, that's more of like I just want you to run fast. So I'm not even I honestly I try not to even coach that because I just want the nervous system to try and fire as fast as we can. Like honestly, we'll do some technical drills, but a lot of times that's where you see a huge fluctuation. Like 9 to 12 years old, in my opinion, I'll have some kids that are like 9 or 10 years old where it's like, okay, we have trouble balancing on one leg, which is kind of normal. Like it might sound it, but like that's kind of okay. We're gonna work through that point. I also have some like 10 or 11 year old kids where it's like, oh my gosh, like you're like a 15-year-old, you know what I mean, in terms of like your coordination and the other stuff. And that's where a lot of it comes back to too, that coordination aspect. You know what I mean? You'll have some if we're struggling like to balance or like be able to say like land on one leg, we're gonna focus on that area and we're gonna sprint and then we're gonna do like our go through like our strength training work. And then over time we're gonna see those improve. So that's kind of like I said, there's different frameworks, and I try and do it. Honestly, I'm bad about getting too deep. I know it sounds bad. When I start thinking about stuff, I start thinking about stuff too much, and it just takes too much time. And sometimes you're just like overkill. You know what I mean? So like honestly, like with the younger kids, that's where I've honestly kind of pulled back and like, okay, what is the most important things? We need to sprint fast. We need to start introducing our plyometrics. We need to understand like kind of how to be bouncy and reactive off the ground. We need to get like our couple sets of like, whether it's like our single leg work, our squats, our body weight, like push-ups and chin-ups, like that stuff. So I just need to have that stuff set in there. Like those are the big things that I need to make sure I'm getting done. And then we can kind of build and kind of expand from that. And like I said, I've got the nice thing is because a lot of the kids too that I work with are like 15, 16, 17 year old now. I've seen them when they were 13 or 14. And like some of them like came to that same point where struggle balancing and other stuff. And now they've kind of progressed to a level that's pretty good for a high school athlete. Like I think I've got 4 kids, like high school kids right now, that can jump over 36 inches. And I've got one that's at like 35 something, which is pretty good, like I'll be honest, for high school. And a lot of those kids, I mean, every one of those kids like 2 years ago, I think was under 30 inches. You know what I mean? So like I said, and a lot of it kind of comes back to just trying to do stuff consistently. So not necessarily looking at like week like progress week to week or month to month, but like where are we at three kind of like quarterly like stocks, like where are we at 3, 6, 12 months down the line? And I've got a couple graphs in there that'll hopefully show that at the conference of like 3 years of vertical jump data of one of the kids that I've got that went from like a 28 inch vertical to a 40 inch vertical. And it's not linear. Like, I mean, there's a lot of times where it like went down for like 4 months, right? That same kid that jumped 40, I think he went 7 months before he hit like 38 something, and it took him 7 months to hit a PR again. But also, that's the reality of like once you start getting towards the top end of like those levels, it's kind of like once you're if you're running like a 10-1, it's a lot harder to go from 10-1 to 10 flat than it is to go from like a 11 to a 10-8. You know what I mean? And that's just the reality. You got to be more specific. You got to be more dialed in, both coaching, but then the athlete has to be more dialed. You know what I mean? Of like, and I've gotten into this, like, okay, like you've got to be so dialed into like some of these technique stuff. You know what I mean? Like some of the other stuff that we're doing, because if you're not, you could still make progress and just kind of, I wouldn't say go through the motions, but kind of just kind of like go along and keep going. once you've been training for 3-4 years, everything's got to be so much more dialed in on all the different areas, in my opinion, to make to keep trying to drive and level up that progress.
Mm-hmm. We're pushed for time, partly because I got confused with the time zones, or didn't get confused. But anyway, we've got 3 minutes left, 4 minutes left. And I was super keen to get you on because I just think it's great to listen to you. And you've got so much experience in, like you've mentioned, across Sweden and Canada and all these kind of places. Most overused or overrated aspects within youth development. Feel free to steer it towards a speed angle or different, or just in general. Have to be a short answer.
Most overrated.
Lots of competition.
Yeah, no, that's tough. I would say, I guess maybe queuing too much. And again,
okay.
I'm not saying whatever, because, like, I'll be honest, I've gotten more, I probably changed up more stuff that's like kind of looked at overrated. Like, I started doing more cone drills, we're pressed on time, so I'll talk about this at the conference. But like, just your like traditional like agility, like change of direction cone drills, I started adding those in a lot more, which people would probably say overrated. I started doing more ladder drills, honestly, like recently, because of some other stuff that I've kind of noticed and seen, which people might say is overrated. I guess I've kind of come back around to like it's underrated. So I guess I would say like kind of queuing. That's one of the things of like just trying to like I said, run fast, and we'll start trying to keep like working on some stuff on the back end. But like, if we're sprinting, like just go as fast as you can. That's all I want you to focus on right now. And then underrated, I would say is, and it's going to sound redundant, and it'd be easy if it was like an exercise, but consistency. Like the people, and this is kids that I see, if you can train like twice a week, like honestly, like that's where I see kids start making a lot of really good progress. Like when you're only going one time a week, or you're going like every other week, it becomes hard to keep making progress. The kids there, and it doesn't have to be like 4 times a week or anything, like twice a week, 2, maybe 3 times a week. If you can stay at that and be consistent for like the whole year, which is like, that's the problem, is like people will be consistent for short periods of time, but they struggle being consistent for 4, 6, 8, 10 weeks, 3 years. You know what I mean? And I know it sounds simple, but that consistency, I think, is the most underrated aspect that I've seen.
Amazing. Right, we've got 2 minutes left. Where can people get to know more about you? And then hopefully, where can people see you at the conference?
So all my social media, I guess, is probably the best spot. And it's just my first name and my last name, Joey Berglis, Joey Berglis. So that'd probably be the easiest way. And what was the other question?
What are you going to speak about at the conference? What's the title?
It is...
I've put it on the spot there. Killed
long-term,
you.
Or youth athletic... I'm trying to remember. Looking at like youth athletic development training over a long period of time. And I know that's not the title. Off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly verbatim what it is, but that's what it's going to look at. Kind of speed, power, production, kind of focus, but then also just general holistic athletic development for youth athletes. With that, so that's what we'll be talking about.
Beautiful. Thanks, Joey. Appreciate your time.
Awesome. I really appreciate the opportunity, and looking forward to anyone that's going to be at the conference. Really looking forward to talking and hopefully meeting you there.
Likewise. Thanks, buddy. Have a good day. Thanks for tuning in to episode 491 of the Pacey Performance Podcast. Big thanks to Joey for giving up his time and being so passionate about this topic. Love listening to Joey speak, and can't wait to see and hear from him in Pittsburgh on the 1st and 2nd of June at the Sportsmith Speed Conference. So if you're interested, sportsmith.co/events. Big thanks to Team Builder, Hytro, Vald and Rock Daisy for sponsoring this episode today. The podcast could not run its current form without these guys, so I really do appreciate all their ongoing support. Big thanks to you for tuning in, and look forward to chatting to you next time.